I want to look at the entire chapter of Leviticus 10 this morning, but for our reading, I want to back up just a couple of verses, beginning in chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23, and we'll read through chapter 10, verse 3. Leviticus 9, 23, hear the word of the Lord. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed all the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me I will be sanctified, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. Father, we pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit as we study your word this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding, and a better understanding of who you are. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, how quickly the mood changed at the first public worship service of Israel. The five priests have just been ordained, remember, over a seven-day period of sacrifices. On the eighth day, they hold this first public service of sacrifices. We read at the beginning of chapter 9 and verse 4, "Today the Lord will appear to you," the excitement's building. Verse 6, "that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." And then it happens at the end of chapter 9. It's just astounding. For the first time in Israel's history, Moses and Aaron go into the tent. They come out alive, and the glory of the Lord appears as a fire. It consumes the offering as a sign that the Lord has accepted their offering. But then that very same day, this is the same worship service. Day 8, after the sacrifices have now been offered, but the priests have not yet had a chance to eat their portions, something awful happens. Nadab and Abihu, two of the newly ordained five priests, offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. This day of great joy suddenly turns into this terrible day of fear and sorrow, as Aaron's two oldest sons are consumed. What happened that God would kill these men that he just set apart this very same day, this previous 7 days, for service? Well, I want to look at this in three parts. Our passage shows that Aaron and his four sons, the five priests, had a mission. Then we have mission failure. And then thirdly, we have mission success. Let's look at the mission. We've already seen in chapters 8 and 9 that one of the primary duties of these newly ordained priests is to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people for atonement. Not only just on behalf of the people, but also on behalf of the priests. They're sinners too. That's a big message of chapter 10 this morning. But in our passage this morning, God gives us an additional threefold job description, a mission for these priests. If you skip down to verse 10 in chapter 10, these are the words of the Lord to the five priests. This is your mission. This is your job description in a nutshell. In addition to the sacrifices, verse 10, "You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean, And you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses. So that's the priest's job description. That's the priest's mission. They're to offer sacrifices, and then they are to teach the word of God to God's people and do so with the discerning ability to recognize what is holy, what is unholy, what is proper, what is improper, what is ethical, what is unethical. They are to offer sacrifices, and they are to teach the word of God. How do you interpret God's law under the different circumstances of life? That's the priest's mission. And there could not be continuous fellowship between the Lord and the people if the priests failed to do their job properly. That's the whole point of the priesthood. That's the whole point of all of Leviticus up to this point. The priests are there to carry out their ordained assignments and to carry them out properly through the ministry of teaching God's word and sacrificing so that atonement could be made for the people. In fact, Moses says in verse 17, make atonement for them before the Lord. That phrase occurs, I don't know how many times, dozens throughout Leviticus. That's the priest's job. That's why, if you back up to verse 8, this goes along with the job description. The Lord said, spoke to Aaron saying, verse 9, drink no wine or strong drink. That's to the priest while their own duty. You or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. If your duty is to step into the tent, offer the sacrifices meticulously following all the rules, and your duty is to teach and preach the word of God and discern all of these things, you can't have a clouded mind. This is a life or death assignment these priests have. Literally, the life or death of the souls of the people depend on the priest's ability to do these things properly. They can't have a clouded mind when they go into the tent. They cannot drink when they're on duty. We have federal laws with the threat of imprisonment for airline pilots if they drink while they're on duty, because lives are in the balance. That's their assignment. That's their mission. Now, if you flip forward to the New Testament, Hebrews, which we've been doing because it runs has such a running commentary on Leviticus, Hebrews 9:11 says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. So that's the juxtaposition here. You have Christ, who is the perfect high priest, the perfect sacrifice. But what we're seeing here, right on day one of public worship in Israel, because of the weaknesses of the priests who served, that rock-solid assurance that we find in Christ and we find in the New Testament, that does not belong to the people of Israel. It's no accident that day one of access to God through earthly priests is marked by numerous failures. This is not a permanent solution. It points to something greater. So that's their mission. Make the sacrifices, teach the word of God. Let's look at point number two, mission failure. Aaron has four sons. The two oldest ones are Nadab and Abihu. They're part of this irreplaceable duty of mediating between God and the people. They're the intermediaries. They've been specially selected by the Lord. They miserably fail here. Very clearly, earlier in Leviticus, the priests were commanded to take hot coals from the holy altar in the tent and use them to burn the perfumed incense and their handheld censer. And the holy coals burning the incense would cause smoke to rise, and it was symbolic of the Lord receiving the prayers of the people, going up to the Lord. That's the duty of the priest. Nadab and Abihu, they are divinely ordained laborers in the Lord's work. They know the rules. But we come to verse 1 of chapter 10 and we read, they offered unauthorized fire. Unauthorized, or you could translate that strange, or you could translate that foreign. It means it did not come from the holy altar. They got the coals from somewhere else. The priest offered illicit fire from an undisclosed source. We don't know where they got them from. We don't know why they did it. For whatever reason, they ignored the command to take coals from the holy altar, and they got them from somewhere else. Maybe they thought they had a better way. Maybe they had an easier source. Maybe it was more convenient. We don't know. We're not told. We don't really need to know. They just presumed to do it in their own way. They refused to do it God's way, and they presumed to do it their own way. And these men cannot plead ignorance. They had been carefully trained. They had been officially ordained. They had been put in a leadership position that required the highest standards. Again, it's a life and death calling. These are professionals, and they're responsible for life or death. And they ignore the command of God, and they presume to do it their way. And in a fitting sort of way, fire came out from before the Lord. They neglected the holy fire. And we're told fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. That same fire that in just a few minutes ago, in chapter 9, verse 24, came out and it elicited such joy. All the people shouted. Has it been but a few minutes? That same fire comes out and consumes these two men. The fire that elicited such joy became a fire of death and judgment. You say, well, why is this so severe? Well, number one, it's a wanton, deliberate sin against the Lord's command. And number two, these men play such a strategic role in representing the holiness of God to the people. In fact, verse 3, you see that emphasis. The Lord has said, among those who are near me. It was only these five men that were allowed to come near the Lord. Well, it's striking, this verse 3. The Lord says, I'll be sanctified among those who are near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And you have this striking brief sentence, and Aaron held his peace. Just lost his two firstborn sons. And he keeps silent. Again, we're not given the motive here. It may have been his own fear. It may have been the dumbfounding pain of seeing your two sons die. But certainly his silence, his holding his peace, serves to underscore the holiness of God and the severity of this occasion. In fact, in verse 6, Moses specifically forbids Aaron and his other two younger sons from publicly mourning. He says in verse 6, Moses said to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, those are the two living younger sons of his four sons, do not let the hair of your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled, and do not go outside the entrance of the tent of the meeting, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. There cannot be any appearance of them undercutting God's judgment at this moment. They can't publicly mourn. In fact, priests, when they were on duty, not only could they not drink, they were forbidden from publicly mourning. They have work to do. life or death work to do. That even comes through here in the words of Moses in verses 6 and 7. He says twice, lest you die. Lest you die. Moses, you get the sense that he's nervous here. You've got five priests, two are down, there's only three left. And this is day one. If you lose the next three, public worship is dead the day it starts. So far, their attrition rate is higher than a Baptist preacher. Moses is nervous. Well, the bodies are unclean, so they can't touch the bodies, so they call Aaron's cousins to come get the bodies. Verse 4, Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, so Aaron's nephews, and said to them, come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp. So they came near and carried them in their coats, their charred coats, out of the camp, as Moses had said. Well, that's mission failure so far. They haven't discerned the word of God properly. They haven't executed the offerings properly. Verse 12, I love this. Moses begins to speak. And what you get, the sense throughout from Moses, is whatever it takes, we've got to salvage the first public worship service. Get the bodies out. Let's get back to the sacrifice. He wants to complete the sacrifices that have been interrupted by the Lord slaying these disobedient priests. Now you remember the last step in offering the sacrifices, the last step in the ritual is the priests eating the portions that are assigned to them. They get to eat the leftovers. They get the leftovers of the grain offering. They get the leftovers of the breast and the thigh from the fellowship offering. So here we are. These two men have been struck dead. The grain offering still sitting on the altar, hasn't been eaten yet. The meat's still on the altar. And in spite of the tragedy, Moses must ensure that these surviving priests complete the inaugural sacrifices on behalf of the people. So he says in verse 12, Moses spoke to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar. These are the last three priests surviving, his surviving sons. Take the grain offering that is left of the Lord's food offerings and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place because it is your due and your son's due from the Lord's food offerings, for so I am commanded. But the breast that is waved and the thigh that is contributed, you shall eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you. And they will give as your due and your son's due from the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the people of Israel. The thigh that is contributed and the breast that is waved, they shall bring with the food offerings of the fat pieces to wave for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be yours and your sons with you as a due forever, as the Lord has commanded. So again, Moses is in a very precarious situation. He only has three priests remaining. He's particularly concerned that we get back to the sacrifices. I appreciate that about Moses. I appreciate that about pastors who are dedicated to the ministry of God's word and the worship of God's church. And I just, as an aside, want to say this. July 13th, 2013, when we had our church fire, Saturday evening, it did not cross my mind for one second that we would not gather the next Lord's Day in the morning and attend to the ministry of God's word and the worship of Jesus Christ. COVID-19, it did not cross my mind for one second that we would shut down the church on a Sunday morning and not attend to the ministry of God's word and the worship of Jesus Christ. Friends, in the spirit of Moses, I don't care what happens in this brief life. If I have breath in my lungs, I will crawl up into this pulpit and we will tend to the ministry of God's word and the worship of Jesus Christ. The ministry of God's word does not shut down for anything. We make adjustments, we get strategic, we do what we need to do, but the ministry of God's word goes on. That's the message of Moses in Leviticus 10. These two guys have been struck dead. It's a tragic event. It's a sorrowful event. Let's move them out of the way and let's worship God. That's what we're called to do on day 8. and the establishment of the sacrifices of God's people. So verse 16. Now, Moses is on edge, I can tell you. He doesn't want these last three to die. He wants to be sure that we scrupulously attend to all the details. We've got to get this right. So Moses diligently inquired about one more offering. He's attended to the grain offering. They've eaten it. We've got that right. He's attended to the fellowship offering. They've eaten the meat there. We've got that right. That's completed. There's one more. There's the sin offering. Or the fellowship offering, as we've been calling it. It's called sin offering in the ESV. Verse 16a, Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burned up. Uh-oh. You're not supposed to burn up the fellowship offering, the sin offering. You burn part of it, and the priest eats part of it. Moses gets angry. He was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron, saying, "Why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before the Lord?" It's Moses' own instructions in Leviticus 6. You offer the sin offering, it achieves reconciliation for the offended party, but then the priest has to eat part of it before the Lord. That's part of the process of the priest bearing the sin of the people. It confirms that God accepts it. And it confirms to the sinner that he's forgiven. And what we find out here is just after the two oldest ones have messed up, now the two youngest ones have not followed precisely the instructions for the sin offering. They burned it up without partaking of it. And that puts the congregation in jeopardy. It's an interesting parallel. The four boys. On the one hand, you have the sin of Nadab and Abihu, which I would say is an explicit transgression of a positive command of God. The command is take the holy fire from the holy altar. And the two youngest sons presumptuously say, "No, I will not take the holy fire from the holy altar. I will take it from somewhere else." But on the other hand, you have Eleazar and Ithamar, and they commit a sin of omission. They neglect to eat what they should have eaten. But Aaron tells us they did it out of reverence to God. Look at verse 19. Look at Aaron's response. His brother Moses is angry, and Aaron says to Moses, "Behold, today they have offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and yet such things as these have happened to me." Such things as these, as my two oldest sons were struck dead and carried out of the tent. My oldest sons, this tragedy has struck, and because this tragedy has struck, if I had eaten the sin offering today, would the Lord have approved? He pleads the events of the day had been so traumatic that he and the remaining boys were just seized with the fear of the Lord. And that's the reason for the omission of eating of the sacrifice. And they're spared. In the very last words, Moses says, when Moses heard that, he approved. What's going on here? It's grace. You have two men guilty of this presumptuous sin, and you have two men who are guilty of a sin of omission out of fear of the Lord. God strikes two dead, and in his grace he spares the other two who express a fear of the Lord. And I think another point is brought out here. And that is, beneath all the ceremonial ritual of Leviticus, the heart matters. The heart matters most. And you see that in the grace that's shown to the two younger sons. And Moses approved, indicating that God approved. Interesting chapter. The whole chapter highlights the holiness of God and the precarious nature of the sacrificial system, and perhaps most of all, the imperfections of these earthly priests. This is going to continue to be the story. This fits and starts, judgments and failures. It's going to continue for over 1,000 years until that day when God would send the perfect high priest, the perfect mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was not hindered by sin, whose sacrifice was perfect and eternal, whose priesthood was perfect and eternal. And we have mission success. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Friends, we can be fully assured of our salvation when we entrust ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and His perfect atonement on our behalf. That is the message of the Lord's Supper.